So we were in Atlanta while you were there. We were at the, I think part time, part of the time when you were there, we were there as well.
We talked to Peter.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
We got to have, we ate at the food court in Atlanta with Peter in a small group one day.
Good.
So I just wanted to say, Mike, as you might, everybody would notice that Elizabeth isn't here. She's out of the country traveling,
Yeah.
and yeah, she'll most likely will be back. I don't know when our next time will be, but yeah,
Yeah.
so Elizabeth is traveling. That's why she isn't with us today.
Okay, no problem.
But she's with us in spirit.
Okay.
But nevertheless, I'm excited to get together.
Cool. Well, I'll hand it over to you. Whatever you want to share or ask, go for it.
Bill is raring to go.
Okay. Yeah. Mike, I continue to, when I speak to people, they keep talking about the courts and if I could go to the courts for this and if we could go to the courts for that. And it keeps coming back in my mind. I don't know about other people, but to me, your mountain and your seven mountains are never seem to have enough emphasis on how important that is, because that's where your governments are. That covers everything on your scroll pre in your life and what you're doing judicially. And in fact, anything probably in the courts is somewhere in your mountains, but government, what you is called for on your scroll. Those are my thoughts anyway, because that's where your action is, your mountain over your seven mountains.
Yeah.
And maybe if you could talk about that, you might not agree with that comment. That's okay. And the fact is that, and also where the seven mountains, people continue to ask, where does that come from? Why is there seven mountains of government that I'm given? And your thoughts scripturally or whatever. I'll just turn it over to you.
Oh, okay. Well, I agree. I mean, I the courts, in terms of the mobile court, is really just about doing the judicial things you need to do to be able to establish government. So where there are issues that are hindering you outworking your scroll or delivering governmental authority from the kingdom, then the courts is where you remove any legal rights the enemy has to block or hinder or obstruct your governmental rule. So, yeah, I mean the courts are an important aspect, but they're not where the government takes place. They're where you get the mandates that enables you to continue with government. So your own mountain is really it's you. I mean, your spirit is a man. It's your position of sonship, lordship, kingship in the realms of of heaven, and there are different aspects of that depending on the different levels of government that you mature into. So the throne that you're on effectively is mobile in that it can engage in the realm of the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, heaven itself, and learning to administer from there is the key, and learning to see from that perspective and see from a higher level perspective. Everything we do, the enemy needs to be under our feet. The only way the enemy can be under our feet is if we're above it and him in any way. So, learning how to administer from your mountain is a key. Why are there seven mountains? Why is there anything you could ask in a sense? It's essentially, God has established the kingdom on the foundation of of seven, and there are seven dimensions of the kingdom, and there are seven mountains that reflect that. I mean, everything functions numerically with God, and you see that around His throne you have the three bench of three, and you have the four faces of God representing Him. You have the seven spirits of God. The 12 elders and the 12 elders, they're all sort of numerical expressions of government in one form or another. And it just seems that God has established seven as a number. And you can look at various sevens through the Word of God and find their key. Arthur Burke does a lot of things on fractal numbers and in his teaching, and he goes into the different sevens that there are. You have seven redemptive gifts, and you have seven things that relate to that. The seven churches in Revelation. You know, that God has chosen seven as a number which represents fullness in terms of that way of thinking. So I don't think you need to get hung up on it. You know, a lot of these things, don't worry too much about the detail. If God shows you seven mountains of authority, then do it. If he shows you six, then work with six. You know, so a lot of these things, I think people can get tied down and bogged down with the detail, when the reality is it's about ruling and knowing that the spheres of government that God's given you to rule and to administer. And once you understand them, then you're then responsible for administrating it. But that doesn't mean, even when you understand it, that you're going to do everything every day. You know, I let my spirit direct. You know, as I engage God myself, get a mandate for my day, look for what I'm authorized to do from his perspective, then I just let my spirit lead when I go to my mountain. You know, I'm not going through a ritual or having a routine. I go there and I administrate and I allow my spirit to direct what I'm supposed to do. So, you know, in terms of my own personal mountains, you know, they are very much just part of me and they enable me to outwork who I am. You know, being, you know, that I'm responsible for lots of other things, you know, I get to engage in many different spheres of government in the realms of heaven. But if you don't learn to administrate your own life, you're never really going to operate in a bench of three or in a chancellor's role or any other, until you learn to administrate the basics. And that's the key. Administrate the basics that God has given you, and he will begin to enable you then to grow and mature in government. You know, a lot of people sort of are, well, I want to be part of a bench of three. And I would say, well, okay, you know, how are you doing on your own mountain, and are you administrating your own seven mountains? Oh, well, yeah, I don't really want to talk about that. I want to administrate a bench of three. And it's like, well, you know, forget it. You know, if you're not really willing to embrace your own personal life and make sure it's an outworking of the kingdom of God and an outworking of that in your own life, then God is not going to entrust you with a whole load more authority when you're not willing to administrate the authority he's given you. So I think the key is to just to find out, you know, what is it that I'm called to do, you know, and then begin to faithfully administrate that, and then God will then begin to elevate you in a sense to higher realms of authority once you're faithful with the little. And everything starts that way. He who is faithful with little will get much, you know, and God will entrust more, you know. And it comes out of a position, really, of humility. You know, I'm not looking for position. I just want to be who I am. And whatever that is calling me to do, then I can embrace that call and I can outwork that call. So, you know, it seems that there are many different patterns of numbers in the Word of God. And seven is one that is repeated through the Word in many different ways. And, you know, heaven itself has seven realms. So it would make sense, if God has patterned heaven after seven realms, then he would give us seven mountains to reflect that. You know, there's the seven spirits of God that also is another seven. So there are lots of sevens, really. But, yeah.
Mike, you mentioned the bench of three going through there. And just out of curiosity, how does that work? Because I always look at a scroll as like the old line, God makes every snowflake different. Every scroll is unique and different that each person has.
Yeah.
So my scroll is totally different than Debbie's or yours. Yours is different than everyone else's. There's no scroll like yours on the earth. There's no two people have the same scroll. Mm-hmm. So when you put three people together, and then another seven. Mm. How does that fit together? Because they're all different, the mandates.
Well, you would only come together if that is part of your scroll. If being a part of a bench for whether it's an ecclesia or a region, an area, a city, nation, whatever it is, if that's part of your destiny, then when you come together with others, you're intersecting destiny with others, and therefore you come together and you find there's a common ground that you have one heart and mind for that, and you then begin to work out the relational things that enable you to understand each other and to help each other and to support each other, because we're all in a journey, we're all in a process. You know, we're not 100% out there sorted out, so in the process things get brought to the surface that we have to deal with, and having people that we can trust alongside us with a heart for the same things to bring glory to God through those things is a really helpful thing. And it then means that we're never on our own. You know, there's a right sense that, yes, I have a destiny, but God always does things relationally. So my destiny is not independent of relationship with others. Otherwise, I'd just be like an island that doesn't need anyone else. So I need other people to help me in the fulfillment of my destiny. And therefore, I have to be willing to engage in relationship with others so that they can be helping, you know, engaged with a culture of honor, so that that will enable people to receive me, I can receive other people, and we can help each other along on our journey. Because often there are many people that come alongside us at different seasons in our lives that are all part of God's plan and purpose to help us mature. And some of those people can seem quite difficult to us. You know, the sort of, as Ian call it, you know, sister sandpaper and brother rub or something. The people God puts alongside to challenge and to, you know, help us grow. You know, so I think, yeah, we have got an individual destiny that we are responsible for, and we will have to give an account for that. But along the way, that will intersect with many other people in many other different ways, which we're going to have to find ways of working together, which often takes place when you get a bench of three. You have the sort of the lion and the ox and the eagle, and you have those perspectives that you bring to a bench. So your aspect of who you are will complement someone else's, and you know, within that bench, you can't do it on your own. I mean, I've tried, you know, I mean, for years, you know, I had to operate on my own because there wasn't anyone who really understood what I was trying to do in reality. You know, I can't say I understood what I was trying to do in a lot of times. You know, I've grown into it along the way. So it's important to see a relationship is the basic foundation of the kingdom. You know, there's Father, Son, and Spirit that work together as God. So a bench works together, but as individual parts making up the whole. And that's really important to know, because without that, you get one person trying to dominate everything, and that doesn't work, because God won't allow it to work that way. That's the old order. The old order is the Moses order, where one person does it all, and everyone else has to fit in below. Whereas, you know, in terms of a bench of three, it's foundational to release others. So when you get a bench of seven, hopefully they would have different redemptive gifts and different views and different ways that would bring and add to the whole. We don't want clones. You know, we want people to be different, and it's their different perspectives and the different aspects of their past and what they've learned and the different life experiences they've got and the different things that they've learned from heaven, which are all part of the process. But it's not easy, you know. When it comes to, we've been on a long journey with this. You know, yesterday, you know, we did a coronation thing yesterday where we had our bench of seven and our bench of 12 and our seven mountains with their benches, and we just acknowledged them. You know, we'd done that in the realms of heaven, but we wanted to do it on earth as it is in heaven, and we just honored them and we prayed for them and we released them to outwork and fulfill that. But that's been a long journey for us. You know, I can remember, you know, many years ago that God gave me those words, succession, enthronement, you know, investiture, succession, enthronement, coronation. And I'm like, I understood them from a natural perspective, but didn't really have any understanding what it meant from a spiritual perspective until, you know, I've grown in and under to understand what those things mean, that God's invested all of us with the authority and destiny to be a son, but you know, all of us have to die to self if we're going to come into that sonship. You know, then he will enthrone us in heaven, and then he'll release that onto the earth. You know, as an individual, corporately, we've had to learn the same thing. So we've had to go through the battle of dealing with, you know, the apostolic versus the pastoral government of the church, and the battles that that brought. And it's brought us a lot of battles over the years. 2005, I was shown that battle, not really, again, understanding the fullness of what it meant at the time, but over the years, in the last 10 years, we've seen a huge shift into understanding government and understanding how you have to do it from an apostolic, heavenly perspective, not an earthly one. And God wants, you know, we're at a crucial point in history where God wants us to leave the old wilderness ways behind and embrace crossing over beyond the veil and doing everything on the other side of the veil so that that can be established on earth as it is in heaven. That's where we are. And you know, we've got a couple of months to continue to get ready for the end of that generation and the fullness of the beginning of the new. So relationship is absolutely key in everything that functions in the kingdom, and therefore, you know, God will never have it so that we are independent. We need to be in relationship, and we need to be in a culture of honor relationship where we receive each other and we bless each other by what we receive and what we give. So, but it's interesting. I mean, whereas, you know, it's an interesting journey when I look back and think, wow, we've come a long way in understanding, you know, understanding the four faces of God and the order of Melchizedek, and understanding how, you know, lion, ox, eagle, man work together, and, you know, and even understanding that, you know, kingly, prophetic, apostolic, priestly functions. You know, once you understand that it's a priestly function, not a pastoral one, then that changes the whole perspective, because the priestly function has to operate in heaven, because there's no earthly priesthood. You know, there is no Aaronic priesthood. It has to be an order of Melchizedek priesthood after that order that Jesus has established. So that changes everything, you know, which is why, you know, we see government as a key to what God is doing. You know, those that won't relinquish earthly government to establish heavenly government are going to die in the wilderness. You know, they will die like Moses did in the wilderness, because they're unwilling to operate according to the Joshua generation, you know, which is a different spirit and a different way of functioning, you know. And God will take the mantle from that Moses generation and give it to the Joshua generation, as the mantle was passed from Moses to Joshua in the natural realm. God is going to do it, and those that won't relinquish it, he'll take it from them. You know, we're going to see a huge shift take place in the coming years to come, you know. But yeah, I'm good. Anyway.
I just have a comment regarding that, Mike, because we had actually on our bench, we had an ascension that we literally saw the battle for that crossover. Like, we, you know, it was like a picture painted for us, a moving picture, that is, that we saw that battle for that crossover, and, you know, just we had to symbolically make that leap. And you know, sometimes out there, the parts that we can see, it was dark, but we knew there was something good, and we had to take that leap from the solid foundation that we know in this realm into the unknown. And that was a very interesting ascension that we had.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And for some, it seems a leap too far. They're just not prepared to make that cross, you know, into a new dimension. But, you know, it's not to say that the Moses generation was bad. It wasn't. It got us where we were. It took us up, brought us to that place, and amazing men of God, you know, forerunners who brought us to a place where now you just long for everyone to cross over into the new, but not everyone is seemingly is doing it. And you have a lot of, you know, a lot of issues right now of the challenges of that going on, where, you know, God is calling, he's the sound of heaven is calling people to cross over into a dimension of heavenly authority rather than earthly, which does mean letting go of the old way of doing it, you know. And if you don't let go of the old, you can't embrace the new. You know, new wine is for a new wineskin. And if we want the new wine to come, we have to have a wineskin that's ready to receive it. And that's a heavenly one. You know, and that's really what God is really wanting to encourage people to see. There is a heavenly wineskin that only operates in the realms of heaven, so that it can be established there first, so then it can be established on the earth. That was always God's intention. It always came out of Eden before it came into the garden that flowed from the river of life. It flowed out of heaven first, and it still does, you know. So we're in a pretty crucial point, and, you know, the challenges are there, and the enemy is obviously wanting to stop people and don't want people to cross over into a new order, you know. So we've got to be ready for that and be willing to make that leap. And yeah, it may be like we're stepping out into darkness, but that's the reality is that's faith. Faith is not doing what you can see. It's actually doing what you can't see, you know, and believing and stepping out on that. So we're in that place right now, but you know, it's good things to come.
One quick addition is, yeah. Once we make that leap in that engagement, you know, we just saw crowds and crowds of people just following. Yeah. So we made that jump into the darkness, and it was a very interesting ascension engagement. But once we did that, you know, the Lord just showed us crowds and crowds and crowds of people following.
Yeah. And that's how it will be. If you think about it, Moses led people up to the promised land, and they wouldn't cross. You know, they weren't prepared to cross with Moses, but they were prepared to cross with Joshua, because Joshua carried a different spirit. You know, he carried a different spirit to what Moses did, and although what Moses did was great, and he led the children of Israel around again to come across, he wasn't allowed to go across. You know, but Joshua was, and everything changed. You know, no longer did one person do all the ministry. All the people were responsible. Hence, you know, Moses parted the Red Sea. Joshua didn't part the Jordan. The presence of God in the ark when the people carried it is what parted the Jordan. Yeah, and then when it came to, again, the walls of Jericho coming down, it wasn't Joshua that brought those walls down. It was the people marching again with the presence of God in their midst with the ark that actually brought the walls down. So everything changed. Yeah, and I think that's what we have to see. Everything is going to change from what has happened under that Moses order into what's going to happen under the Joshua generation with the order of Melchizedek. It's going to operate in a totally different way. And we've got to be ready for that. And that's why God has been doing what he's been doing over the last few years, getting us ready, that people will follow. You know, people are looking for something more. You know, that God is issuing that call, that sound of heaven, drawing people. There's got to be more. You know, and they're looking for more, and they're looking for people who are willing to lead them. You know, so that they can follow. And embrace their destiny and who they are in God's purposes, you know, because the Joshua generation and those who are leading according to that Joshua way are going to be foundational to release people to go further and higher and wider, whereas the Moses generation actually sit on top of the mountain and became mediators, you know, and that's really what's happened. There's been a mediatorial old covenant system re-established, so people go through people to get to God. Yeah? And rather than people teaching people to get to God for themselves, they've set up things which have created dependent people. I mean, how many people go to prophetic conferences? Why do they go? To hear and get a word from God. So they're wanting the prophet to bring them a word from God, rather than they should be going to a prophetic conference to be taught how to hear God for themselves. But that's not generally what happens, you know. So a lot of that is established a old way of doing things that God is now wanting to remove. You know, 2012 was the beginning of the end of that order, and I believe, you know, August this year will be the end of it. Then we're going to start to see things begin to change. So, yeah.
Mike, the one thing, having been in a very short time, being a son of God, is that it seems to me that I often see, or I see from time to time, that there's almost a confusion. I think it's probably based on a mindset, maybe. It's like, I want to go to grade 1, grade 2, grade 3, and in school, but it's in the heavens, and it's like, I want to have this experience here and that experience there, and I saw this, and I think that's all really good, and it gives you an understanding. But the basic day-to-day thing is understanding how to operate. I'm going to go back to your mountain and operate in government. The whole thing, intimacy, but operate in government with each person, like you said, no mediator. You have to learn how to operate in government yourself, or else. Like, that's what the whole thing is about.
Yeah.
Government.
Oh, it is, because
government on earth.
Yeah, because that essentially is what God has called us to do. Yeah, to be sons who carry His authority in the kingdom, and to rule on His behalf. You know, and we've all got our own spheres where we're called to rule, and we're responsible for them. And, you know, when it comes to our scroll of destiny being compared to the scroll of our life, it will be, does this compare? You know, have you outworked and fulfilled what I've called you to do? Have you been faithful to administrate in your family, in your workplace, in your street, in whatever the sphere of it is? You know, have you been faithful to administrate the gifts that I gave you? You know, have you been faithful to outwork this area or this area of ministry that I've given you to administrate? You know, whether it's healing or whatever it might be, you know, have you been faithful? And have you been faithful then to make sure that you disciple others to follow? Because that's the key in government. It's not all just about us. Freely we've received, freely we need to give. So if we're not equipping others to find their destiny and fulfill that, then all we're doing is doing it independently again. So it's really important to see that God gives us the government of God to see others. You know, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now go and make disciples. You know? So in this, it's key to see that we have to help others. So what we've learned, we need to help others to go and go further than us, you know, pass the baton continually on to others to help them. So it is a daily walk with God that, you know, may not seem that exciting in one way, but when you realize that it's making a difference in your family, in your workplace, in the place that God has put you, you know, whether it's in the ecclesia or wherever it might be, making a difference and seeing His kingdom established will always be about bringing God's rule from heaven to earth, you know, and bit by bit things change. You know, the kingdom will fill the earth, but it won't fill it in one big swoop. It will fill it as each person surrenders to the Lordship of Jesus. You know, when someone surrenders to the Lordship of Jesus, the kingdom is extended, you know. And it's extended through people. And if we don't see more people come into the kingdom and therefore begin to administrate, we're not going to see the kingdom fill the earth. So, you know, it's important to understand that it's not just, we are, it's significant in what God has called us to do, but we don't do it independently of others. And I think God wants us to understand the seriousness of it. You know, there is a seriousness of it that's really important. You know, if creation's groan is going to be answered and God's sons are going to be manifested on the earth, then they're going to have to be manifested in heaven first. You know? So I think learning how to administrate, use the keys of the kingdom, use forgiveness, you know, use the reality of what we have in terms of legislation, working with angels, you know, all that stuff is part of learning to administrate, you know, learning to make legislative decisions and to administrate the mandates that God gives. You know, if God gives you a mandate and you don't outwork it,
Norma? Mike?
Parsons joined us.
Oh, there we are. What happened there? Where's Norma now?
I'm not sure what's going on there. Okay. Seems to everything dropped in and out, but there we go.
Oh, here she
is. Yeah. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. It's absolutely important to understand, to do the basics. You know, to have a relationship of intimacy, to outwork from that relationship of intimacy, to grow into the image of Christ, be transformed and conformed to that image, to be like Him. You know, those are the basics. You know, you aren't gonna, you know, no one is gonna operate in a chancellor's role in heaven without learning the basics.
Yeah.
And that comes through intimacy and relationship. And then flows out of that relationship into the government, and that's God's purpose is in it all. So,
In fact, when you said all creation groans, what just rolled through my view was the fact that how important this is, because we keep listening to the prophets and, you know, this is going to happen.
I can't hear you now.
Happen over there. Can you hear me? I'm sorry. Can't hear me?
I can't hear you, Bill.
Okay. Oh, that's weird.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. You can't hear us. Norma.
Suddenly I can't hear you.
I can hear you guys, Melinda.
Oh, you can hear us. Okay. So Mike's the only one who can't hear us?
Can you hear me now, Mike?
Okay.
Can you hear me? No?
That's weird. Can you hear Norma? Norma, can he hear you?
I'm not sure. Can everybody hear?
Okay.
I can hear Mike. I can hear Bill and Jab.
Okay, no, I can't hear you either.
You can't hear me, Mike?
No, I said he couldn't hear you.
Mm.
So it must be something on his end.
I don't know what happened there.
Can you hear us now?
Huh. Funny, I can hear Mike.
I can hear you.
We can hear you.
Well, can we talk to Mike? We can hear him, but he can't hear us.
There you go. Start typing.
Okay. I can't hear anything, to be honest. I'm not sure whether that's my computer or...
Did you put in that Norma?
Because something seemed to jump in and out and then just stopped. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can type a question if you want to.
Oh, there you go.
I'm a terrible
It's
typer.
Already down there.
talk too much.
I don't know. What do you want to do?
Taking place. Us taking our place as sons of God that'll bring the return.
Okay.
Place.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Cool. I think if we're looking at prophets and what people are prophesying, and you're looking, you know, in the question there, you're looking about sort of an eschatological perspective of what's happening. I think, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on which is not helpful. and I think God wants us to realize that the kingdom is going to fill the earth. And God's people and sons will be manifested on the earth. He's not going to come and rescue us. You know, we're going to get the job done.
Yes.
You know, we're going to outwork and outwork the kingdom, and we're going to establish the kingdom. We're going to bring the government of God. We're going to see heaven and earth come back into agreement and alignment. You know, there's going to be a major shift. That's not to say that the things aren't necessarily going to be easy. There is going to be a great shaking, but that shaking is going to show what is of the kingdom, what isn't. So we're going to see cities of refuge set up to be places where God's kingdom and the embassies of heaven are on earth. You know, and they will begin to take ground. You know, and that's the key is the dominion mandate that was given from the beginning is going to be outworked. You know, we are going to fill the earth and have dominion, you know, as sons of God, representing heaven on earth, seeing the kingdom of God fill the earth, you know, as it is in heaven, and for that to take place, we're going to have to change our perspective on what's coming. If you have a pessimistic view of what's coming, then you're going to have a rescue mentality. Well, Jesus is going to come and rescue us from what's to come, rather than we're going to overcome and rule. So I believe God is going to establish cities of refuge. And they're going to be places where they have a blueprint that carries a governmental authority that will begin to administrate the kingdom. And they'll operate under the laws of heaven, not earth. And there, I believe a shaking is going to come, and I believe all the systems that people have put their trust in are going to be shaken, and those that are operating in the kingdom in cities of refuge will not be shaken, because the kingdom will stand as a solid rock, and therefore we will have the government from a city of refuge coming out of heaven and not earth. And if you think of it as an embassy operates under the law and rule of the government that sent it, not the country that it's in. So we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. We're of heaven and of the spiritual realm. And therefore, we live under the laws, the higher laws of the realm of the spirit. And that means that we have a new health service. We have a new governmental system. We have a new educational system. Every sort of system that there is in the world will fail, and we'll have a new economic system, but it will be under heaven's economy and under heaven's system of government, not the earth. And it's no wonder that, you know, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be raised above all the other mountains. So all the other systems of authority that there are in the world, then the mountain of the house of the Lord will be raised above it, Isaiah 2:2. You know, and it says that all the other hills, because that's how they're compared, will come to the mountain of the house of the Lord looking for answers. It says, come, let us come up to them and let them teach us. Because when there is no natural cure for a disease, let's say, in medicine, then we live in health as the people of God, then people are going to want to come and find health. You know, if you had a plague that was wiping out the world population and you were living in health, you'd have a queue for 1,000 miles coming to you to get healed. You know, so people will come to that which is demonstrating authority, and I think we're going to have embassies, cities of refuge, which are operating in a completely different governmental system, where we will be creating things, where we won't be operating necessarily with technology, but through organic things, you know, because we're going to have restoration to the things that Adam and Eve had, you know, being able to use sound and light, you know, being able to control vibrational frequency and resonance, you know, so that we will be able to do things in a totally different way than the world, because those things won't work. I mean, you know, we've got to be ready for that. So I think there's a lot of things coming that are very different from what there's been. You know, and when I say a city of refuge, I don't really just necessarily mean a city as a physical place, but a place of government, you know, a place where God's kingdom is established, where the administration of heaven is outworked, you know, where there will be things like continual harvest, because it's going to be represented of the tree of life that has 12 fruits always in season. You know, so that there'll be, you know, continual harvest, continual blessing, continual health, demonstrating what heaven's like so that people can come and join. You know, and I think we'll see a harvest, and I think we'll see that harvest of laborers, which is why we need a Joshua generation to mentor them. And then they'll go out, taking out that into the world, carrying that authority to expand kingdom. See, a city of refuge from, I know a lot of people in the U.S., you know, they're, you know, I think some, they're called preppers, and they, you know, they have their, you know, underground bunkers, and they've got all their food and water stored up because they're thinking something's terrible is going to happen and need to be ready for it. You know, that's all a defensive mentality. It's all having a mindset which is that of rescue and defeat. Whereas when I'm talking about a city of refuge, I'm talking about a place of administrative power to be a beachhead of heaven on earth, which is going to expand the kingdom and fill the earth with it. So the mountain of the house of the Lord will grow into a mountain that fills the whole earth, which is what it talks about in Daniel. You know, so it is a, you know, a pretty different scenario to that which people are prophesying, and you get the sort of the doom and gloom prophets, and you get the, you know, we got the sort of pre-trib, post-trib, and all that trib stuff, you know, and actually we don't have to be fearful of anything because we carry God's kingdom government as sons of God, you know. So yeah, I mean, it's an interesting challenge that people have to cross over into a new dimension. It means crossing over and leaving behind those old systems of mindsets of theology, which have robbed people of their authority. It's robbed the church of its authority over years, you know, because over generations it's just said, well, what's the point? Because we're just going to be rescued and all this stuff is just going to end up, you know, as nothing, so what's the point? Well, the point is we're supposed to bring God's government into it. You know, if that's not true, then God's mandate to mankind will fail. Well, I don't believe God is going to end up with a failure. I think we're going to see God coming for a church which is without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. I mean, I think, you know, if you're talking about, you know, the next wave, I think a lot of that is historically looking at sort of revival things. God comes and does something, and then that stops, and then he comes and does something else. And all that has been great because it's got us where we are, and all those things have been foundational in helping us come into a reality of who we are. You know, so, you know, what happened in Toronto in 94? what happened in Pensacola, you know, what happened in Lakeland and different things like that. It was great. It's all part of God's purpose. But I think the whole prophetic and apostolic movements that came out of that failed to equip the saints for service. Because what they did is created something for themselves. You know, all those things fizzle out because people didn't realize what their purpose was. You know, and it was only part of preparation. And I think if you look at it from not those are all just the beginning rather than the end, then I like to see it, you know, like, you know, if you think of fire, well, all those revivals and everything that's taken place in the past have just been the flickers of the flame.
Yes.
But what we're going to start to see is a raging forest fire out of control, you know, in comparison. You know, if you think of some of the things, I don't know, think of Lakeland and what happened there, you know, as just a breeze. Well, there's a wind coming where those things and those manifestations are just going to be day-to-day things. They're not the real issue. See, I think people tend to look at the works of the kingdom and think that's the kingdom. They're just the works. Miracles, signs and wonders, healing, just the works of the kingdom, because the kingdom is at hand. And we always tend to look at the manifestations and think they're it. They're not. Yeah. They're just the fact that God's government was established during that time. Now, if we're going to see God's government continually established, then we're going to rule, and we're going to be creative, and we're going to speak to change things, and we're going to have authority and clear the atmosphere of the earth of all the principalities and powers and rulers, and we're going to administrate the kingdom in a totally different way. You know, so we can't look at the past and see what the future will be, because it's going to be different. Because it's going to be established on what would have happened if Adam and Eve had not messed up, rather than continually bringing us back into restoration, which is different.
Reset.
You know, and it's very difficult to imagine something that you've not seen.
Yeah.
You know, which is why you go into these things, you go into a thing of darkness, and then you bring out of darkness that which has never been seen before.
That's what you're talking about.
Because those hidden mysteries are hidden in darkness, to bring brought into the light, so that things are completely different and established on a completely different foundation and basis. So, you know, we are going to see things very different in the future. You know, and it won't be like past revivals. You know, none of those things will be anything compared to what's coming. Because those were all operating essentially because of God's grace and mercy more than anything else. They weren't operating because we were operating in kingdom authority. You know, when we start operating in sonship and with the authority as sons, things will be very different. And we'll start to administrate the creative power of God and the legislative power of God, which will be so different from anything that we've seen before. You know. But, yeah. Anyway, I'll try and read what you're saying there. Yeah, we can look at some of that next time, no problem. Yeah. Yeah. But I think, you know, one of the key things is the establishing of God's government. You know, that's what God is looking at. That is the big issue right now. Are we going to be operating under a Moses or a Joshua type of government? Are we going to be operating earthly or heavenly? And that is the big issue. You know, I think that's the issue that we've seen coming about, where, you know, the challenges of the old order, you know, beginning to oppose the new order, all those type of things, you know, are more and more going to be commonplace. You know, and we've got to be ready for that, you know. Not everyone's going to not like, you know, everyone's going to like what we're doing. And it's usually the religious order of the old that doesn't like what the new's doing. You know, and we'll begin to persecute it and do all those things. And we've got to be ready for that. You know, and make sure that we have a right heart that we continue to operate in forgiveness, that we do not carry resentment towards what people are saying and all those things. Forgive them, release them, bless them, and carry on, you know. That's, I think, where we are right now in this point in time. As soon as God starts to leave the wilderness, and, you know, things will change quite dramatically, I think, for a lot of people. So we need to be ready for that. Okay, all right. Well, it's obviously a bit difficult not being able to hear you. I'm gonna try and reboot my machine, I think, and try and get it sorted out. But anyway, it's been good catching up with you after, you know, a while of being away. And it was really interesting, you know, being in the US and seeing some of the things that God was doing. And, you know, the key was there's a huge lack of government everywhere. You know, that is the key. Everywhere there's a lack of correct kingdom government, and God wants to establish that. So he's looking for willing people. You know, that's what he's looking for. He's looking for people, willing hearts. You know, it's not necessarily going to be those well-known people that have been doing things in the past that are going to administrate from heaven, you know. So God is looking for willing people who are, as we were talking earlier, willing to learn, to embrace intimacy, and to embrace their own destiny and begin to administrate that in their own lives, that then God will begin to bring into greater dimensions of government, in whether they're benches in ecclesias or cities or regions or nations. You know. So, you know, I was really encouraged by people's response up in the Northwest and then down in Atlanta, and the hunger and the desire for embracing what God is doing. You know, there is a real hunger, and, you know, those people who know there's more and are willing to pay the cost to pursue it, God is going to honor, because there's a huge cost. You know, I know Ian Clayton was saying that his view is probably only 10% will operate according to the order of Melchizedek. Yes. You know, but that 10% can change the world. You know, that's the key. So, okay, all right. All right, okay, well, I'll